Hey, welcome to Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast special interview with film director, film producer, and actor?
No.
Matthew? Oh, no?
No, sorry to interrupt you. I've acted a little, but not anything I would write home about.
It was on your IMDb, so I was like, let's throw it in.
That's why it was actor, question mark?
Yeah.
That's a good way to describe it. I wouldn't claim myself as an actor. So.
But you're an actor in our eyes.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Matthew Goldberg, welcome to the show. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Oh, we are doing great. It's a long day of work, and then after work, we just plop right down in the IT office and just start recording.
Unwind and talk about figures.
I hear you.
So, Matthew, you were discovered by Eric Bischoff?
Yep. When I was 17 years old. I'm 25 now. It's actually a really funny story. I think with my dad at the time, and we were going to TNA Bound for Glory in Chicago, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I got this really vague email from a TV producer. And I was like, okay, someone's pulling my leg right now. this is just kind of weird. It was just like, hey, I'm really interested in your work. I'd love to talk to you. I'm a TV producer or whatever. And... Uh-huh. My dad's like, yeah, just further inquire about it. And I did. And he's like, my name's Eric Bischoff. And I was like, bullshit. yeah, right. Okay. This is a big joke. And he gave me his phone number. And my dad and I called it because we figured it was some jackass, you know. Because at the time, my YouTube was on fire back then when I was young. And, you know, I'd get weird emails and messages from people all the time. And I thought it was a joke. And I was like, okay. So he called it. And I was like, oh, my God. this is Eric Bischoff right now. And he wanted to work with me on some projects. And I was too young at the time. Uh-huh. Obviously, I was in high school. And then he was going to Ringside Fest that year in New York, so my dad took me so we could go meet him. And he called out my name in front of all those people. He's like, where's Matt Goldberg or whatever? And shit my pants because it's Eric Bischoff, you know? And he's like calling my name in front of all these wrestling fans. I'm like, yeah, that's me right here, you know?
So go into detail. What's that like to just get an email from Eric Bischoff and then get his phone number? Are you just like, holy crap.
You're like, this isn't Bill Goldberg. You realize that, right, Eric? You're not reaching the right Goldberg here.
Exactly. No, it was really surreal, and I still talk to him to this day. Uh-huh. We've been trying to work out some other projects, but he's just such a wonderful guy. I mean, I know people think what they think about him, but he's just believed in me since I was 17 years old, and you know, it's been almost 10 years that I've known him now, and he always has my best interest in mind. And he's always trying to come up with new projects for us to do. Because he told me when I spoke to him a month or so ago, I think it was, that one day we'll work together. And, you know, that just keeps me going. And, you know, one of your childhood heroes, someone you grew up watching on TV as a kid. Mm-hmm. It's just so surreal. And I try to be as humble as I can about all of it. It's just amazing. I mean, when I went to college in Tampa, Florida, uh-huh. Him and Hogan were going to TNA in Orlando. So I called him up and he got me this really unique opportunity there where I just kind of got to hang out and learn production and stuff. And I made friends with a lot of guys. I even got to become fans of people I wasn't growing up, because they treated me so well. And then I stopped being a fan of some people because they were such a jerk.
Oh, dude.
That really sucks.
Yeah. But it did suck, to be honest, because a lot of the people at TNA in 2010 or whatever when I was there were people who were in WWE and that were in the Attitude Era and everything else, the Ruthless Aggression Era. And but I became friends with Elijah Burke. He's one of my best friends, actually. And Victoria from WWE, she's one of my really good friends. And
she seems like such a cool person.
She is one of the sweetest wrestlers you'll ever meet. And if any of you guys, even the people listening, if you ever get a chance to meet her, just tell her you're friends with me. She'll treat you. I mean, she treats everybody wonderful. But my friends who I, or the wrestlers I made friends with, always go above and beyond to treat my friends better from stories I hear from people who meet them. And it just means the world to me. But
So you, you met Hogan.
I did.
What's that like? Just being in the same room with Hogan, it's a mark out. It would be a mark out moment for Scott and I, but
yeah, we're total 80s kids, so yeah, being around Hogan.
You guys, for sure. Hogan's probably my all-time favorite. NWO or Hollywood Hogan is my favorite version of him, but to work with him, I was like, it was so hard not to mark out, because when you're backstage, you can't mark out at all.
Right.
They will get really pissed off at you.
Yeah, you get the boot.
Exactly. And one thing, a memory I'll always have. I met him at a signing a few years earlier, and he was really cool. He did a promo for my animated show, CCW, for me. And that meant the world to me then. But then to get to kind of work with him a little bit, the memory I always have is I was just standing around backstage one day, and he came up to me and congratulated me on graduating college, because it was like one of my last days there before leaving Florida. And he just came up to me and I was like, oh my God. It's Hulk Hogan. And I marked out on the inside, but I had to keep it really cool on the outside. Even seeing Sting like decked out in his makeup, I was like, oh my God. Like, that was another like inner mark out moment for me. It was just seeing him fully in his trench coat and face paint and everything.
Oh, that must have been awesome, yeah, man.
It was a really surreal experience. And, I got to do some videos for them. They never used them, unfortunately. And TNA internally is kind of unorganized as a company. We didn't end on good terms. I didn't even fully work for them. But when I actually made some documentaries with Elijah Burke and Lisa, which I'm sure you saw on IMDb.
Yeah, I was actually reading up on those.
Awesome. There are some interviews about them, because we tried to... Lisa had a publicist that really helped us try and make it much bigger than it was, because it was just my like senior project for college.
Mm-hmm.
And my professor helped me get both of my films to Cannes, which was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we tried to make it larger than life, and TNA was kind of upset because it wasn't theirs.
Okay.
Yeah, it upset everybody involved. So
did you get A's on the projects?
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Nice, dude. Nice.
Yeah, my projects are very different from everybody else's.
Oh, I could imagine.
It was so much fun. And Elijah and I really bonded on it, and him and I talk all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves collecting, so we love sharing in that hobby. And that's actually how we became friends. I think he was sitting on a computer on Ringside Collectibles site or whatever, and we just started talking, and then we just like, oh my God, we both love collecting and stuff. And I actually got him to be when I went to grad school, I had him be a part of my thesis project, which is really cool. And it's just crazy. I mean, I've met so many people through just my YouTube hobby. It's insane. And I know you haven't even had a chance to ask me more questions as I keep talking, but
that's totally fine, man.
Dude,
take your time.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. You've seen more in 8 years than Scott and I have seen in probably 32.
Yeah, no doubt. Matthew, how did you get into collecting figures? You mentioned that you're a WCW fan from back in the day. Did you have a preference one way or the other, WWF, WCW? And then how did you get into the figures?
Sure. Well, I've always been a fan of toys since I was little. My dad got me into wrestling because he would watch it with my uncles and his mom and dad and stuff. And to be honest, I feel like I watched WCW more as a kid than WWF. Probably because it wasn't as, you know, raunchy, I guess, the best way to describe it.
What year did you first get into it?
I want to say when I was 4 years old, so like 94.
Oh, that's a bad era to start. Yeah.
I don't really remember it back then, to be honest. But
you didn't miss try to forget it.
Yeah, so. You didn't miss much, dude.
Yeah. No, I've just grown up watching it, and like I took a break from it. I want to say mid-2000s, I think, is when I stopped. I stopped collecting, which was the worst idea ever. It's going backwards is a nightmare.
Yes.
So you would have been collecting the Toy Biz WCW figures then?
I have majority of those from when I was little. My first figures were the BCA WWF, like the Bret Hart and the Gold Dust and Shawn Michaels. All their limbs are like broken, which makes me so sad now. But
they were real bone crunching.
They were real bone crunching. And I've just been collecting ever since, honestly.
Do you remember getting your very first figure?
I want to say one of my earliest memories are, one of them is getting like the Mark Merrow and Sable 2-pack, I think it was. And another one was when my grandma used to take me to KB Toys and I would get the WCW like LJN figures and like the Harlem Heat ones. I remember getting them like when toys were like $5 or whatever.
Yeah, the good old days.
Orange price tags and everything at Toys R Us.
Or you would just see a red pen just marked down.
Yeah, for $9.99.
Yep. Yeah, $9.99 down to $5.99.
Yeah.
Right, that's right. I forgot about that. That's pretty awesome just to think about right now.
And so when you got out of collecting, you did the WCW Toy Biz and you did the WWF Jax. And when you got out of it, when you got back into it, you were buying Jax again. Did you start off with the Classic Superstars?
Yes, I think when the Classic Superstars started is when I stopped. And I didn't get back into it, I want to say, to like Series 8 of Classic Superstars. So, and that's actually like my favorite series of all time that's ever been made.
It was awesome. Yeah, we totally agree.
It's my favorite. I mean, the best part of it was that I would, like when my dad would take me to Toys R Us or whatever, I'd pick out the guys and I'd be like, oh, I don't know what this is, and he'd teach me all about them.
Oh, nice.
And so I'd learn through collecting and doing it with him, and it was just a really cool thing. But I'm pissed that I missed so many. I mean, I've gotten a lot of them, but like one I just can't get my hands on is Luna Vachon. Even though she was much later, I don't think I ever saw her at the store.
I don't recall ever seeing Luna on the shelves. She was a tough find.
You know what? I saw her a couple times, but it wasn't, you know, she wasn't a shelf warmer. She was gone.
Yeah, if you didn't pick her up when you saw her, she was gone.
Right.
That sucks, because that's probably why I always missed her. But you wouldn't think, to be honest. I mean, I know she's a diva, but Luna isn't, like, I don't know. I mean, she's a legend, I guess, now, but I wouldn't expect her to fly off the shelf, I guess, of all female wrestlers, but God rest her soul. But I don't know.
So, when you got back into figures, is that when you came up with the idea to start doing stop motion?
No. Stop motion started, I learned it in middle school, and I thought it was the coolest thing that you could bring your toys to life.
Uh-huh.
So I started to do it at home, and I would show my neighbors and my friends, and they're like, oh, this is great. And at my cousin's wedding, his friend said, why don't you put it on YouTube? And I was like, okay. This was 2006, so I don't know if I was collecting WWE still at that time. Probably not. But I put it on there, and I created my show, Crash Collision Wrestling, and that just blew up. Like, people still ask me about it. It'll be 10 years old this year.
Oh, wow.
Actually, no, it'll be 10 in February, so almost 10 years old. Uh-huh. And when I watch them now, they're just okay. But people were nuts about it. And I mean, at one point, I was considered like the best, like people considered me the best person at the time because not many people were animating. And my numbers were just shooting. And a lot of people asking me how to do stuff and whatever. And it was just so cool. So I kept doing it and doing it because there's all this crazy demand. Like, people tried to hack my account. They made, like, fake accounts. They made tribute videos. I mean, you could probably find a lot of those things still there today, which is pretty funny to look back on.
When I went back and I started looking at some of it, your views are through the roof. Like, Scott and I are excited about unboxing videos that are, you know, and then I look at yours and I'm like, oh man.
Yeah, we're not doing anything like that.
No, it was amazing, and I wish it was monetized at that time because I probably would have made some nice money back then.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
My views are pretty dead now, sadly, but...
Are you still doing stop motion today?
Not really, just because it's so time consuming. And as I gotten older, you know, you go to college and then you get a job and it's just harder to find time to do it. But people still ask me, and I always say never, because you never know. But the fact people still ask me about it like 9 years later is just ridiculously
That's amazing.
Awesome. They're like, and like I just got comments recently like, oh, back to my childhood or whatever, and that's just so cool to see someone say about your work, and it's so inspiring for me to just keep doing my thing. But Eric Bischoff, that's how he found me, was my animated show CCW, because he had his Celebrity Championship Wrestling show.
I remember that.
With Hogan, yeah, and he found it on accident searching for their show on YouTube, and he just fell in love with my stuff, and that's how he reached out.
So I know this is probably a question you get 1,000 times, but Scott and I do not know the answer. How long does it take to put together one of those?
Jesus. it depends really what you're doing. I mean, if you're doing a really good one, like as you watch my older stuff to my more modern stuff, you could see how the animation has changed.
Uh-huh.
But it could take months. It could take weeks. Just... doing a move, a single move could take several hours.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting them to cooperate. And I don't know. In high school, I remember it would take me a few months. I mean, I wouldn't do it like every single day.
Uh-huh.
But it would take me a good month or two or more.
So how would you get... I know I'm...
No,
I'm kind of getting detailed on this, but how would you get the guys to stay up in air? That
in
was
air?
My
sure.
Is there a magician string hanging down?
Yeah, to be honest, you use fishing line.
Gotcha.
And one trick I learned was to use Photoshop. You could actually see the technique in my snapshot photography series where I edit out the string. It's a huge. Tedious thing, because an animation you're talking hundreds or thousands of photos, and just a sequence could take several hundred, so you have to edit every single frame.
Wow.
Yeah, the editing takes forever, but it's so worth it in the end when you see it all together.
And then getting the YouTube comments of people, you know, loving the stuff,
that's what kept me going. If those fans didn't support it, I probably would have stopped a long time ago.
Well, that's what I keep telling Scott about our show. You know, it's the listeners that keep us going, you know.
That's
like
true.
if we didn't have as many downloads that we have,
yeah, and the feedback that they give us all
and
the time
feedback
too. Yeah, it keeps you going.
Yeah, well, this would have probably stopped after episode 15 or 14, you know, because but seeing the downloads increase, it's motivation, hearing the great feedback from everyone, that's what keeps us going and doing this.
No, it's amazing when you could create a fan base like that. I'm really happy for you guys that you have a loyal fan base like that. And it does keep you going. I mean, you know, I always try to stay in the community, and I like to reinvent myself a lot. I've always been trying to find the next thing to trend, I guess, in the community.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, I do, like, my photography and stuff now because it's not as time-consuming as an animation is. And the fact people love my stuff on Instagram, it's like, okay, I'm on to something. And, you know, you just keep doing it. And that's what it takes, is just those people that support your work are the ones that keep you going every day. And I'm exactly. just so thankful, because I probably would have been out of the online community a long time ago.
Matthew, do you stay on top of the current figures that are out, like the Mattels and the Figures Toy Company?
Definitely. I do my best to, at least, and all the WFigs forums, and just even on our Twitters, and seeing what people are sharing or where they find something. And I don't know if you guys saw, like, or if I don't even remember if I mentioned it to you, like, that I did video work for Jax and stuff when I was younger too.
I knew that you did stuff for WWE. I didn't know about Jax.
Yeah, I'm telling you, not a lot of people know about how involved I've been in just the figure community. It's just crazy, to be honest, because I was 16 when I started doing a lot of this stuff. And Jeremy from Wicked Cool Toys and Jax, where he does the interviews and stuff.
Yes, yes. Okay.
So Jeremy had a blog website. This was 2006, I think. He had, like, his own personal blog site that I somehow came across. And there were some other collectors on there, and we'd all chat in the comments and stuff. And one day I just emailed Jeremy, and I showed him my work, and he loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked if he would be interested in me doing that for them. And he was like, yeah, sure. So they would send me samples of stuff, and I would make, like, I think you could see them still on my YouTube, where there's, like, really old, like, series videos where I would animate them. Like, I did it for the UFC toy line for them.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember if I really did any WWE ones, but I did some TNA ones. And they actually had me do a video for UFC with Brock Lesnar versus Frank Mir.
Oh.
And they, I guess, showed it to Dana White or something, from what I was told. It was, like, part of their pitch meeting or something. Some marketing meeting with him, and that was surreal just to do that for them. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, and I just done other projects for them over the years until all my connections left, and then Jeremy went to Wicked Cool Toys, so now I do stuff for them. Like, they just sent, I don't know if you saw my tweet, they sent me the new NXT ring and some of those new 31-inch figures to review for them. And
nice.
I'm trying to think. I've even, like, Bill, like, from Mattel, like, I know Bill.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried, one of my friends from Jax worked, Enrique, I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, he was there for a few years at Mattel, and tried to get in and do some stuff with them, and then nothing really came of that. But then I animated for WWE for a year. I had a contract with them, which was really cool.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah, all this is just from me joining YouTube. Like,
oh, wow.
That's what my YouTube has done for me the past 10 years, which is insane. I mean, like, I got to meet Mick Foley through Eric when Foley was here in Chicago for the convention. I went to meet with him, and I have his cell phone number and stuff. It's so crazy.
That's crazy. You sent him a text. Hey, Mick, have a nice day.
Yeah, can you, like, do something different on Raw tonight? I'm not feeling what you're doing. You know? No, he's a really nice guy. I'm just so grateful for all the relationships I've made over the years with just so much talent. Like, Stevie Richards is another friend, and I connected him and my dad, and, like, they're good friends now.
Whoa.
And my dad used to work in the fitness industries, and knowing Michael Mann is such a huge fitness nut, they became good friends. And my dad's, like, good friends with Frank Shamrock, who's Ken Shamrock's brother.
Uh-huh.
And actually, a crazy story with that is my dad was at dinner with Frank, and Frank's like, do you mind if some of my friends tag along? And my dad's like, yeah, sure, whatever. And it turns out his friends are Bill Goldberg and Mauro Ranallo.
Oh, man.
What?
And he went to Goldberg's house and chilled with them for like a few hours. And he called me. He's like, "You're never going to believe who I'm at dinner with right now." I was like, "Who?" And Goldberg's like on my bucket list of people to meet.
Oh.
And yeah, he's like, "You would be dying right now if with me."
Oh, that's awesome.
It's crazy how much this industry has become a part of my life. It's all from a hobby of collecting.
Well, if you didn't have the talent, you wouldn't get the recognition and the feedback. So congratulations on all that, man. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's fantastic, dude. Have you met, aside from Pope, have you met other wrestlers that are collectors?
Well, I think Matt Morgan, he's another friend of mine too. And uh-huh. I think he would collect his figures because he would always talk to me and tell me they need to change things about his stuff and mm-hmm. whatever. And it was just always funny. He even, like, I made a custom Elite of him, and I showed it to him years ago, and we just followed each other on Instagram recently, and he found some old picture I took of it, and he was still complaining about it. I was like, "Dude, you told me you wanted the Brock Lesnar arms on your body." I think I used, like, a Wade Barrett body or something, like a torso for him, and put some Lesnar arms, because the Barrett arms weren't big enough for his liking or whatever. I'm trying to think who else. I don't know. I'd have to really think about that one.
Because I remember in our interview with Brian Breaker a couple weeks back, we were telling him about how we used to work for All Pro Wrestling out here in Hayward, California.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And before the show, because I did camera crew, I didn't take any bumps or anything like that. But before the show,
sure.
there was a wrestler named Donovan Morgan, and he used to have a box of wrestling figures underneath his TV. So Scott and I would stand at his door and look in, you know, kind of standing in the doorway and look in to see what figures. And they were mainly LJNs and Hasbros.
Mainly
LJNs. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Scott and I'd be like, "Okay, what has he got? Or is the paint chipped off?" You know?
Yeah.
No, I totally get it. I mean, you know, when you see figures, you just get excited, and that's awesome.
Yeah. That's the thrill of the hunt. You know, you know, every time you go into a Toys R Us, okay, well, they have the new Elites, well, they have the new Basics, or, you know, whatever figure you might be looking for, you're like, "Oh, well, they have it." And then usually if you go into Target, you're walking out disappointed, but...
Yeah.
Matthew, yeah. You mentioned about Matt Morgan not being happy with his Jax figures. What's your opinion on Mattel right now? We've been hearing a lot of negativity about their sculpts and whatnot. What's your opinion about where Mattel was and then where they're going now based on their last Comic-Con?
Well, this Comic-Con I thought was pretty good. I was excited for a lot of what they showed.
We were too.
Yeah, there's a lot of, especially, I just want a lot of the newer talent, like the NXT guys, so I was really excited, and I'm a huge Enzo and Cass fan, and I'm dying to get Elites of those two so bad.
How you doing?
How you doing?
What about the FTC line? Are you following them? Are you purchasing the figures?
I haven't purchased any of theirs. They're pretty cool. Actually, I've been to their headquarters a few times because they're in Tampa, so I got to visit their warehouse a few times. And they're really nice people. I haven't spoken to them in a long time, but to be honest, I want to pick up some of the odds and ends, like the Blue Meanie, who never had a figure. Like, I really want that a lot.
Yeah.
I've never watched Ring of Honor, so I have no interest really in, even though, like, Kevin Owens and Jay Lethal and them, like, I know them, of course, but I don't know. The one thing that bothered me, at least on the first series, was, like, the hand proportions on the two brothers. I can't think of what they're
called. Briscoes?
Yeah, the Briscoes. Like, mm-hmm. their arms are huge, but then they have, like, the smaller fists and, like, the bigger heads, I guess, which was always, you know, the comments on Jax towards the end.
Right. You know what's actually funny is the editor, she was actually making that same comment about the figures, about the hands. She made those same comments. And she was looking at him. She goes, "I like him, but the hands are just not proportionate."
No, it's that was literally, I think, the first thing I noticed. And I mean, I feel bad because I know they're trying so hard to make these quality figures. And
there's been a little bit of a backlash, you know, from some people, but you know, we try to stick by them because, as you said, they are trying, and right. they're making figures that we never thought we were going to get.
Yeah. We're getting independent definitely. Guys. We're getting legends. It's a treat getting these. So yeah, and, we're just hoping they continue.
And as Scott said a couple podcasts ago, it's only going to get better. That's kind of why we stick by them, and we, you know,
sure.
You know, I've had my gripes about some figures, but you know, it's
sure.
They're working hard. They're working hard.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we all have our gripes. I mean, I can't tell you how many times on Twitter, like even today, someone was yelling at Wicked Cool Toys about the new 31-inch Seth Rollins not having all his, like, designs on his tights. And I'm like, in my mind, like, I get the frustration. But the way I am with collecting is, like, I'm just happy to have a figure of someone at this point. Like, I don't care if they're missing a freckle or something on their face, you know?
Like, CM Punk doesn't have his Pepsi tattoo. Right, darn it. You know, like,
yeah. I don't know. I mean, I get it, but at the same time, it's like, just be grateful you're getting this. I mean, I think the new 31-inch Rollins is awesome for what it is. So
I don't collect those, and I probably won't get it, but I'd be tempted to.
Yeah, I got the Hogan one because that was a big, like, must-have for me. But they were like, oh, we're sending you these. I'm like, okay, I'll review them for you. I mean, my mom, because I live with my mom and dad right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just recently moved back home, and my mom's like, where the hell are you going to put those? Like, because they're huge. I mean, they're awesome. Don't get me wrong, but they are so big.
You put them out on the front lawn as decoration.
I should. It's garden gnomes, you know?
I like it.
So,
but, yeah.
So, Matthew, your top five figures of all time.
That, you know, I was trying to put that list together for you guys last night, and it's actually really hard to narrow yes. down to five. I mean, I think one of my all-time favorite figures, though, is the Jax Classic NWO Hogan.
So awesome.
That's a good,
I love how they in the favorite. Same series they did the red and yellow Hogan and Hollywood Hogan.
Yes. Right.
So you got best of both that. Worlds. Yeah, yes. That was awesome.
No, that figure with the boas and the belt and his weight belt and the bandana. I don't know. Just the detail on that figure was amazing. And that's one of my favorite childhood memories is Hogan being in the NWO. And so that's definitely, I would have to say, that's probably my favorite wrestling figure that I own.
Mm-hmm.
But another one was like the ringside exclusive Jax Classic Gold Dust. Where he has his robe and wig and stuff, and he has the fatter face.
Yep.
And I felt like, I mean, I don't know if it's true, but that was one I kept telling them, like, hey, you need to make this figure. And then it was made, and I was like, always felt like, oh, I had something to do with this, but I don't know if I did. But I just love that figure. And I don't know why. I've always loved Goldust since I was little. And that's such a weird character, especially as a kid, to like. But
he was different, though. That's
so
okay.
Weird that and unique.
And that was such a mid-90s character, but at the same time, it stuck.
It stuck,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's still doing it now, you know? So.
Yep, exactly.
20 years later, yep.
20 years later. Another one would probably be the ringside exclusive Elite Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the flashback one, because mm-hmm. I always wanted like a deluxe aggression Lesnar, and they finally made him in Elite form, which is even better.
Yep. You're okay with.
Yeah, so that one, like, that's why I like the defining moments NWO Hogan, that being canceled was like cutting my heart out, because I was so excited that Mattel announced they were making him
mm-hmm.
with more articulation like that, and for him to screw up, I was so mad. Yeah.
We're all hoping he'll be back, by the way.
I thought he would be by now, to be honest, but I hope so. To be honest, I don't need to see him on TV. I just want him to sign a merch deal, and I'll be happy.
Yeah, just give us a Legends deal, more Hogan figures. We'd be happy.
Yes. No, exactly. I can never have enough Hogans, so.
Agree.
Yep. He dropped a leg on Gawker, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Yeah.
He might not need that deal anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
he's got that Gawker money.
But, no, I was so mad he did that.
Well, they did make the defining moments, the old school Hogan, the old school defining moment Hogan.
The Mattel.
That's Scott's favorite figure.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Really? It's a good one, honestly.
And it has my favorite title of all time, the 87 title.
Yep.
It was an awesome figure. I was really excited to get that one. I think I have two.
No, nice.
Two of that one.
So two more.
What you got? The Hogan, the Jax Classic Hogan and his tie-dye tights, I would say, is probably another favorite of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one was kind of a hard choice. This probably seemed really random, but I really love the basic Mike Knox figure from, like, Series 5, I think.
Wow, that's our first Mike Knox mention ever on the podcast.
I don't know why, but I think because I always really liked playing as him on one of the PSP games, because I don't know, I just like that he was kind of a beast in the game. And that when that figure came out, I was really excited. But a close, I guess, tie with him would be the Elite 28 Bray Wyatt, as he's one of my all-time favorite wrestlers.
Yeah. That's a good one. That was his first Elite.
Yeah, his first one. I think I bought like five or six of that one and made so many different versions of him.
Nice.
I don't know. I'm a huge Wyatt fan. So.
Oh, he has it. He has it.
I'm so mad. Like, I actually was hoping he would defeat Ziggler last week or whatever for the title. But
his time's coming. His time is definitely coming.
Because he's so overdue.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
He's got the whole package. So.
Yeah. Any honorable mentions for you?
Oh, jeez. I don't know. To be honest, that's a really hard question.
It is, and that's what was tough about Scott, because that was one of his secret questions.
Yeah, being on the spot with your favorite five, especially since we've been collecting since like 85, 86.
Sure.
Trying to get five out of, 30 some odd years, that's that's tough on the spot, man.
What are yours?
I'd love to hear yours.
Gosh, going back, I'm having to remember. So I had the Defining Moments Hogan.
Right.
The LJN Roddy Piper.
Yep. Okay.
The Road Warriors Classic Superstars.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are good.
Macho Man Hasbro.
Very first one.
The first Macho Man Hasbro.
I don't even remember. I have a few, but I don't remember which was first.
He was in orange tights, had the bandana, had the old school glasses.
Sure. No, that's an awesome one.
Yeah. For me, it was my number one, actually, the Shockmaster from San Diego Comic Con.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember you said that.
Yeah, that might have actually just jumped up to number one. But at the time, it was the Triple H Toys R Us exclusive, where he was in his WrestleMania 27 garb.
Oh, okay, with the sledgehammer and... Right?
It was the brown robe, and then he had
right. Yes, that was a beautiful figure.
I adore that figure. And you can't even see Triple H in it, but it's such a good figure.
No, that's an awesome figure.
And then Jack's Deluxe Classic British Bulldogs, and that's more nostalgia for me.
Yeah,
sure.
Because I remember growing up just watching the Bulldogs, and I loved the Bulldogs. So having them in their blue trunks and their red trunks in Jack's Deluxe Classic.
Especially considering they screwed up the Classic Superstars 2-pack.
Oh, exactly.
They gave Davey Boy the long hair, and it wasn't right.
And if they would have just corrected that one thing,
it would have been passable. We would have taken it.
Yeah.
But no, they screwed up.
Yeah, of course they did.
They still get heat.
Oh, yeah.
It's not us blasting them, it's Morgan.
To cut you off.
Oh, no, go for it, man.
Have you guys heard anything on the Shockmaster figure? Because I haven't done much homework on it the last week or two, and I really want it, and I don't understand what's going on.
I think eBay is your best spot right now.
I'm not doing eBay, no way.
No, I don't blame you, because I think it's around 60 to 70
bucks.
Yeah,
I would never spend that.
I would say keep checking Maddie Collector, but I think they ran out of sold out quickly after their San Diego Comic Con.
Yeah.
Did they ever stock it?
I was told they were going to, but I never saw it.
officially. I never saw it either, and I know Bill said that supposedly they were going to stock it after the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I've been checking, and it keeps showing as sold out, not in stock. But who knows? It could be one of those days, boom, all of a sudden they have a bunch of stock of them. Because what I was told is I had a buddy that went, and he picked up a Shockmaster for me on Saturday. And I guess it was six per person.
Oh, wow.
And he said they had a ton of stock left over. I mean, a ton of Shockmaster figures left. So I thought for sure they would have been on Maddie Collector by now. But I've been checking like Jeff has. Yeah, you would think that they'd have some up for sale.
2 weeks now or a week?
We're like, yeah, 2 weeks removed from it. Wow. Yeah, and they still don't have any in stock on there. And they did sell a bunch of their other exclusives that they had for Comic-Con on the site. But I have not seen one Shockmaster available on their website yet.
I know there was a website, Paul Mart Store.
Yeah.
They had some, but they were selling them for $50 bucks, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know. I always like to spend as close to retail as I can.
Yeah.
And what were they charging at Comic-Con for them? It was like $30.
$30, I think.
$30? Okay.
And you got a, what'd you say? It was a limit of six, I believe?
Yeah, each person could grab six.
Yeah.
Which is a lot, man.
I know.
That is a lot for one person.
But I would have dropped, I would have spent
$180 to get all six. Make your money on eBay coming
home. I mean, the only time I was at Comic-Con was when the Undertaker one was there.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, I still have that mint. And yeah, I mean, for them to do another figure now is awesome. And, you know, because I love collecting the older school guys, so
mm-hmm.
I want it. And I'm really bummed that he's like MIA right now.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Hopefully it turns up.
Yeah.
Hopefully Maddie Collector will get some stock in those.
Yeah, because apparently from what our friend said is that there was cases upon cases of them.
Yeah, there were a ton left over, so they've got to show up one day.
Yeah,
just keep your eye on the site.
I thought I saw someone saying that they were changing websites or something that's selling it, but I haven't heard anything since.
Okay, well, if we see anything, we'll definitely post it out on Twitter and let you know too.
Yeah. Oh, please do.
Make sure to tag you in that.
Yeah.
So one thing we love to do on the show is we always love to have our guests have a wish list. Sure. So do you happen to have a wish list, Matthew?
I do. Well, I do want that Defining Moments NWO Hogan. That's a big wish list one.
Uh-huh.
I'm praying that that gets released eventually.
Hopefully.
Hopefully is right. Get it together, Hulkster. Come on.
Yeah, Hogan, if you're listening, come on, man.
That's right, brother. Come on. I would like to see a Defining Moments Medusa, like with the title and trash can, if Vince would be okay with that.
Oh, wow, dude, that is awesome. A brilliant wish list.
I like that.
I love that.
I think that'd
man.
Be cool. I know, I'm tired of them remaking the same people now.
Yeah,
in different outfits. Like, I get it, but at the same time, like, the series is, like, not as exciting because of it.
You mean, like, a Roman, the 500th Roman and 500th Cena?
Yeah, exactly. Like, but now, like, because Flair's repeating in Defining Moments and Cena's repeating, and I'm sure Shawn Michaels will repeat next, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely.
And Macho, probably. Oh, yeah, there's another Macho, I believe, is what's the rumor.
Well, I know that there's an Elite Macho coming out, and they just showed this at the Las Vegas
that
Super
one looks
Toy
cool.
Con. Yeah, that's towards like the that 2000s, and that is really good.
Yeah, no, that one looks really nice. I like that one. And at least it's different than his others now, because like, I'm not even buying his Elite 44 one, because I'm like, it looks very similar to his other one.
His Elite 38, I believe, where he... What was he dressed up in Elite 38? That was
the red and yellow pants with the tassels or whatever on the side.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that was his Halloween Havoc gear.
Might have been.
Oh, I don't remember.
I'll have to double check that. But yeah, it looks so similar to that one that it's just okay.
Yeah. We're waiting on that Macho Man in the robe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
No,
in Defining
Moments.
That
will be a nice one if they do that, which I think is what people are claiming the next Defining Moment is. Or something is him in one of his robes. So,
perfect. That'll be awesome if that actually comes out. Oh man!
And I hope they do it's listen. Cloth because it'll be beautiful if it is.
So they do listen to the show.
Yeah, they've heard our wish list.
I've
right
been
on.
Clamoring for that the whole since episode one.
No, I think if I'm not mistaken, I think that's a rumor. Poor Bill, though. I mean, people just leaking all this information. Like, I feel really bad for the guy because the internet, in a way, in my opinion, I mean, we're guilty of it too, leaking whatever comes out. But there's no surprise anymore. You know, you don't go to the store and be like, oh my God, I didn't know this guy was coming out. Like,
well, that's what shocked us about the Ringmaster figures. Nobody was expecting.
That's true. I forgot about that.
That was a surprise. Yeah.
That was a nice surprise.
I remember just getting tagged and on somebody's Twitter, and they're like, oh, what's this? And I was like, oh, that's a horrible custom. And then I was like, oh, wait a second.
No, I mean, I wish Bill could somehow do that with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard. We're so used to the immediate information now. It happens so quick, and just the leaks come, and just everything is spoiled now.
Everything. Yeah. Everything. Yep. Like, I think the rest of the year is already spoiled, to be honest.
Yeah, pretty much with Comic-Con, I think.
Between Las Vegas and San Diego, everything is just spoiled.
Yeah, we know what's coming out.
Yeah.
I mean, have you guys seen, like, some of those leak lists that have surfaced?
Now, I kind of go off of the one off of Reddit. There's usually a guy on Reddit.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a guy on Reddit that usually leaks everything.
Oh, God.
So it's almost like until I see his list, I kind of go off that. But I've been seeing quite a few lists. So I've been avoiding talking about it because I'm kind of waiting from that guy from Reddit.
Yeah.
No, for all we know, it could be them leaking it too. So, like WWE, yeah, where they just leak their own stuff.
No. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Any other wish lists?
Yes. Well, I do want an Elite Goldberg really bad.
Mm-hmm. You might get your wish here pretty soon.
I think that one's coming out with the video game that's right around the corner.
Yeah.
I was hoping he was going to be the GameStop exclusive.
There was a lot of people that were thinking that same thing.
It would have
made the most sense. Yeah.
Instead, they
drop Brock.
Another Brock that looks the same as his past three or four elites.
He just comes with a different shirt.
Right, and that horrible skin. I don't know. I don't like that skin on it at all.
It's bad.
Something is way off about it.
It looks like someone scared the shit out of him or something.
Like, legit, yeah.
He's like, oh, they made another figure of me like this? That's his expression.
It's almost like that gargoyle one they showed at Comic-Con. Yeah, that's better.
Yeah. Yeah, so I made my own at this point, but I would like a legit one to be made.
Okay.
Here's another pretty random one, would be like Elite, like the Oddities would be cool. I don't know if they could license all of them, but.
Oh, whoa.
Well, they have Earthquake.
True. Oh,
that's
yeah,
a start.
He was, what's his name? That's right.
Golga?
Golga.
Yeah, but they couldn't do the clown posse or whatever.
ICP, they would be
able
to.
Yeah, they would be able to get them.
But they would be able to make Luna, Golga, and then who's that?
The
called?
Giant guy.
What Kurgan, was his name? Right?
Kurgan, yes.
Yeah. And that would be cool. I don't know. I'm just thinking of people that, I mean, Kurgan, actually, his figure was one of my favorites when I was little, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why, but something about him with his tie-dye shirt and his claw hand or whatever that he had.
Man, you bring Mike Knox and Kurgan the first time ever to the
first
show.
Mentions ever on the podcast. 30-something episodes in, man.
Credit to Matthew Goldberg.
Yeah. Taking it back.
Yeah, even like an Elite D'Lo Brown, he's well overdue for a figure. I mean, he never even had a Jax like classic or anything.
No,
to be honest, I wasn't a fan of him backstage at TNA.
Really?
He was kind of standoffish, which was disappointing.
Maybe it's because he never got a classic superstar.
It probably is. That makes sense. No. No, he, to go with like the NOD figures they just released, I think it'd be cool.
That would be awesome.
I wished, actually, I wish they made Mark Henry like that to go with them. I don't know why they didn't.
Oh, they could do a flashback on him. Yeah. That would be awesome if they did that.
Savio Vega and The Godfather. Because they did him. Yes, Kama. Yeah, they should do a Kama.
Heck yeah.
One. Because, yeah.
It was kind of interesting that they went with the Nation of Domination figures. Because, I mean, I know Rock always sells. and it was Rock and Farouk, and it came in the elite packaging, and that was good. But there's kind of a couple other people that I would have much rather seen, like a Mega Powers 2 back, Hogan and...
Sure.
Oh, man, they need to do that.
Even the Hart Foundation, I'm surprised, didn't come out that way.
Yes. Yep. And honestly, what is your opinion of the Bret Hart scan of Elite 43?
It's okay. I mean, I think his other ones look better.
Yeah.
I haven't even opened mine yet, actually, but... Yeah, I don't think it's his best scan at all.
Yeah, it's funny because Jim is spot on.
Oh, yeah.
Jim is spot on.
I was thrilled to get that figure.
Yeah, but the Bret, yeah.
It's a little off.
Bought him, honestly, to go with Jim.
Yeah. I'm getting him autographed this Friday.
Oh, cool.
Over in Fremont.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but this is going to be like my 30th Bret Hart signature.
Like, Bret, could you sign over the face, please? And that'll look great.
Yeah, I don't
want to
see it anymore. You should ask him what he thinks of it. I'd be curious to hear.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yes, and then you could put it on your show. There you go.
Yeah, because we do signing stories.
There you go.
Exactly. Yeah, I thought that was a really cool segment you guys did.
Thank you very much. That was actually, we got to give credit to one, our special guest, Sean, and also Brandon Haliva on Twitter.
Okay.
He brought that up again. And I was like, yeah, you know, that's actually a really good idea, because Sean brought it up first and then Brandon kind of reiterated it. And I was like, okay, let's try this. Let's
just because we've been to so many signings and met so many of them. And
yeah.
I mean, no stories like you. Don't get us wrong, but like, you've been to a couple.
No, that was a really awesome topic. Seriously, like, it was such a different thing to talk about.
Yeah, because
that was really smart.
We were getting kind of tapped on the wish list, and we're like, okay, we may need to go every other week on the wish list. So what do we do?
Yeah, change the segment.
No, that was a really cool idea, and you know, everybody goes to signing, so they could all relate. And like, I always love hearing when people. Like, oh, that person's really nice, but then you meet them and they're really mean, or vice versa. Right. And like, when someone tells me one of my friends was mean, I was like, are you sure you met the right person? Because, you know, but you never, that's one thing I actually learned being behind the scenes and stuff, is that you never get the same experience as someone else meeting someone.
Yeah, it's different day to day.
Right.
Yeah.
You never know what mood you're going to catch them in. And
they're running off 3 hours sleep and... caffeine isn't working, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, the one person backstage who I'm not a fan of anymore was Bubba Ray Dudley. He was really mean to me one time.
Jeez.
You know what? Do you remember a wrestler? Do you remember Crash Holly?
Sure.
So Crash passed away back in 03, but before he did, he came... In about 97, he came back to All Pro Wrestling, and that's where he started. And he said for some reason Bubba had it out against him, like from the second he went to ECW.
Wow.
Yeah, he said Bubba just had it against him, and he just hated Bubba. It was weird.
You know, to be honest, his Bully Ray character is pretty much how I would describe him.
Oh, man.
Whoa, really?
Like, he just, jeez. That's the way he carried, like, I don't mean to sit here and badmouth him, but I grew up watching the Dudley Boys, so for him to be a jackass to me over nothing, it hurt my feelings, you know? Like,
man, yeah, no kidding.
You're a fan of this guy growing up, and then...
Yeah, that balloon totally burst.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was funny, some other time he was walking with Eric... And Eric introduced him to me, and he was as nice as could be. And I was like, I'm never forgetting what you did to me that one time.
But, I'm still not being nice to you.
Well,
right.
For every Bully Ray, there's a Lisa and an Elijah Burke and a Hogan,
right.
You know?
No, that's true. I mean, I think I became friends with just some of the nicest people there. And I do want, like, on my wish list, I want elites of, like, I really want an elite Victoria.
Mm-hmm. She's long overdue.
Long overdue. And an elite Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And I want an NWO 4-pack, like a target set of the NWO, and put Bischoff with Hogan and Nash and Hall.
That would be awesome.
That is another great wish list.
That would not warm the pegs. No, that would not be sitting around like that horseman set that's out right now.
They did with Heenan, where they just throw Bischoff in there. And that's the only way to get him or whatever.
That's a brilliant idea.
Oh, I would go nuts for that. But
I mean, I wouldn't even wait for a coupon.
I won't. So,
huh, I mean, that,
yeah.
That is great, man. Great wish list, man.
Yeah, I like it.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, when I heard he was doing a documentary with them, I got excited thinking that maybe he signed a merch deal or something.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. I would be ecstatic, even if he was a Build-A-Figure. I just want him really bad.
That's good, man. That's a good wish list. Well, Matthew, we want to thank you for being on the show, man.
Sure.
You have been great, man. Thanks for having me.
I mean, I could probably sit here and talk with you for hours.
Oh, dude.
We'll have to schedule a part two then.
Yeah.
I would be all for it, honestly. I mean, it's
awesome.
It's so much fun to talk about it.
Yeah, and it's been great talking to you, man. We would love to have you back anytime.
No, just let me know whenever. I would absolutely love to. And if there's anything I could do to help promote you guys on the Twitter and stuff, just let me know.
That's the best thing you could do for us, man, is just help us get the word out there.
You got to grow your network and grow with the right people. So
exactly. Cross promotions, all that stuff, man. You gotta just work it.
True.
So Matthew, why don't you get your plugs in, man?
Sure. Well, you could find me on Twitter at WWE TNA Figures. That is a constantly growing wrestling figure news source. I always try and share updates I get from all my connections at Mattel and Wicked Cool Toys and Jax and things. So if you're looking for more, I guess, insider news besides these wonderful guys at Fully Posable, check out that Twitter. It's growing. It's on fire, actually, which is amazing. And I'm really thankful for that. So thank you guys for all your support. I'm sure all of you are listening. You could, if you want to follow my personal Twitter, where I usually comment on Raw and SmackDown and other projects and stuff I'm working on, that's at MBG Films, MBG Films. Then my Instagram, if you want to keep up with all my photography, my wrestling figure photography that I'm sure you've seen me tweet a lot, my account is MBG1211 on there. And my YouTube is MBG1211 as well. I love social media, if you can't tell. and even on Facebook, if you want to keep up with me on there too, my page is MBGFilms-MatthewGoldberg. So all my projects, and you can message me there and chat with me whenever.
So for MBG, you got to come up with some wrestler names.
I know.
Ms.
Morgan.
Matt Morgan. Brian Breaker. And G. Goldberg.
There it is.
Last one's an easy one.
That was all improv, dude. actually, before we sign off, do you want to go into the story about Zack Ryder and your...
Sure. It was last week, I think. I just had inspiration to recreate Zack Ryder's entrance from Battleground, I think it was, right? Where he wore the warrior-themed attire and the Sting coat.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And so I like, oh, this would be kind of cool. So I took the Jax Deluxe Sting, American Sting coat and put it on him. And so I'm like, oh, I guess I'll share it tonight or whatever. And I put it on Instagram and Twitter. And next thing I know, maybe in like 10, 15 minutes, like people start commenting on my Instagram like, dude, Zack Ryder shared this. Zack Ryder shared this. Check out his Instagram. I was like, no way. So I went on his Instagram, and it has like, last time I checked, I think it had like 9,000 likes or something.
Oh my gosh.
Probably has more now, to be honest. And I was like, I'm sad mine doesn't have that number, but because it's on my profile too. But it was so awesome because he retweeted it and then he put it on his Instagram account. So if you go on his Instagram, you could see my work there. And that actually reminds me, like, Paul Heyman has shared some of my photography videos in the past, and Mick Foley has too.
That's awesome, dude. Because
that's the craziest part of it all, is when a wrestler acknowledges your work like that.
Well, I know how excited Scott's daughter got, Peyton, when Bailey retweeted a picture of her holding the very first Bailey Basic.
Yep.
Oh, really? That's so nice that they do that, honestly.
Yeah, create lifelong fans right there.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. And, I've been trying to get Enzo to share my work of him and Cass because, I go all out with them. I took the Brian Kendrick coat.
Uh-huh.
And from one of his Jax figures and put it on my Enzo, and then I photoshopped his Michael Jordan of Jargon logo and stuff on it. And I'm like, dude, this looks so cool. And but he'll share some really crappy photos someone took, with no effort. And I'm like, my goal is to get him to share one of them. But no, it's especially Paul Heyman. I mean, he's on my bucket list of people to meet, too. I just have the most respect for that guy.
He's such a great mind for the business.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. Go back and listen to our interview with Brian Breaker. He'll tell you a name that Enzo wanted to pitch for.
Oh, really?
Yes. That he originally pitched for NXT. Because you know how they have to give a list of names?
Sure.
Yeah, he came up with a great name.
Well, let's just be happy it went Enzo Amore.
I don't know. I really like the one he...
really? No, I'm excited to hear what it was.
Yeah, Brian's a great... Awesome. Brian's a great, great guy. So, and it's a great interview. So I highly... If you like hearing those backstage stories and stuff like that, you'll love this.
I love them.
So thank you again, Matthew, for being on the show. And we're glad to have you on. You're welcome back anytime, man.
No, thank you so much. And, I've always loved interacting with other collectors, and I think a lot of my success came from just treating other collectors well on YouTube and stuff, because people ask you, how do you do this, how do you do this? And when I started, someone ignored me, and it inspired me. Like, if I ever become popular, more popular than you were, I'm gonna treat my fans right. And that's why I even made my Wrestling News Twitter. It's just you sharing the hobby with all these other people from around the world, and talk about what you love. And it's so much, that's why I love just talking with you guys. It's so much fun to sit here and talk about figures.
Well, that's the great thing, man, is around here there's not that many wrestling figure collectors, and same. I mean, they're out there because our Walmarts and are not right. Completely wide.
Yeah, somebody's cherry picking them.
But that's what's the great thing about social media, is that all these collectors are coming together.
Yeah, gives us a whole new network.
Oh, definitely.
And we don't have any inside sources at Mattel. We talked to Chris at FTC, but as far as Mattel,
as far as Mattel,
we don't really talk to, we don't have any sources or anything. So that's the great thing about social media, is all the other collectors are like, oh, did you see this?
And
it's let's talk about it, on our podcast,
Are you guys in any of the Facebook groups or anything?
I follow Wrestling Figure Photography.
I started that group.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I'm on there all the time looking at pictures. I love those pictures.
Yeah, that's... I recently left Facebook just because there's so much drama in all those groups.
Yeah, it's Facebook.
I know. And I was like, I need... I don't know if I'll ever go back, but I miss all my friends on there, to be honest. But yeah, I even started, I believe, the first figure collecting group, the wrestling figure collecting group on there. And then now it's transpired into the 5,000 or whatever there are. And,
yeah.
I mean, not that it's anything to write home about, but it's just so cool to see how you could influence a community and... see it grow. And the photography group, because that became a new hobby of mine, and I was like, well, why don't I make a group and get all these other people who like to do the same thing together and learn from each other. And
the pictures that people have been posting on there lately have just been amazing. There was one today that was Raven standing next to Terry Funk, and Raven's holding the ECW title, and I'm like, oh, whoa, that's a...
You remember who did it?
No, I'd have to go back and check. No. But it was just posted today.
There's some really phenomenal work that comes out of there. I mean, it's just so cool to share as artists and fans in that craft. And, and then when wrestlers acknowledge the craft, it's so cool. I mean, I know Zack Ryder's a huge collector, so for him to see someone make him in his Battleground outfit, I'm sure he was all over that.
Yeah, he was, man. So again, Matthew, thank you. Thank you very much for being on, man. We appreciate it. And as I said, you have an open door policy. Come on in anytime.
I'd love to. And thank you so much again. I really love this. And if anybody has questions for me or whatever, just tweet them to me. I'm really good about responding. So
yeah, you really are, man.
I try to be, at least.
I know.
I hate, you know, like I said, I was ignored, and I don't want to treat people that way. So
yeah, and that's what we try to do, is trying to keep
up. You guys are great.
We try, man. There's sometimes some things will slip through the cracks, but
sure.
Yeah, but we try.
Twitter's blowing up. It's hard to keep up with everything.
Dude, that light is flashing all night, dude, with a notification.
You're like, I'll get it in the morning.
So again, again, thank you very much, Matthew. We greatly appreciate this.
Thanks, Matthew.